In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Before the death of Pope Venerable Pius XII in the year 1958, there were already some who accused him of having been favorable to Nazism and of not having spoken out against the massacres of Jews. This accusation surfaced again in the year 1963 with the publication of The Deputy, also known as The Vicar or The Representative, a play by Rolf Hochhuth, a left-wing German writer. In this controversial work, he argues that Pope Venerable Pius XII was more concerned with Vatican finances than with the massacres of the Jews. After 3 decades, the subject resurfaced again, and today there are many books written on it. Let's start by saying that in the years before the war, there was constant harassment against Catholics and Jews by the Third Reich. The persecutions against priests or seculars sent to concentration camps, the prohibition of pilgrimages, the closing of Catholic publications and schools were constant. Multiple processes were even tried against religious for sexual abuse. The most striking of these trials took place in the month of April of the year 1936 against 276 monks and nuns from Westphalia and the Rhineland, both places in Germany. As for the Jews, we cannot forget the Night of Broken Glass, or Kristallnacht, from November 9th to 10th of the year 1938, with the burning of Jewish businesses and synagogues. Reinhard Heydrich, head of the Gestapo, in the year 1935, in his writing Wandlungen unseres Kampfs, spoke of the 2 great threats against Germany, Judaism and Catholicism. What did the church do? Pope Pius XI, in the year 1931, in the encyclical Casti Connubii, had condemned the mandated sterilization law that came into force in the year 1934. In the year 1941, a courageous condemnation was made by some bishops, especially the bishop of the city of Münster, Blessed Clemens August Graf von Galen, which revealed details of how 800 sick people were murdered in houses specially prepared for this, and the way they communicated false news to their loved ones about their deaths. The bishop strongly condemned these abuses and denounced this euthanasia program that would lead to the death of people disabled for work, the seriously ill, the elderly, and wounded soldiers who were returning from the front. The 3 sermons that the bishop gave on this subject caused a great deal of commotion among the civilian population and among the German soldiers at the front. For this reason, the Nazi leaders decided to suppress the program and postpone dealing with the church until after the victory. They did not want the Catholics to revolt at the very moment when the war with the USSR had just begun. In the year 1937, Pope Pius XI published the encyclical Mit Brennender Sorge, in which his Secretary of State, the future Pope Venerable Pius XII, had great influence, and in which Nazism and its racist ideals are clearly spoken against. The effect of the encyclical, far from calming the Nazis, meant a suffocating repression, which turned to hostilities from part of the SS and the Gestapo. In the year 1939, shortly after assuming the functions of the papacy, Pope Venerable Pius XII published the encyclical Summi Pontificatus, where he spoke of the need for peace, and that his task would be to seek peace between those carrying on war. The New York Times newspaper published an article about the encyclical on the front page on October 28th of the year 1939, where it said, "The Pope condemns dictators, violators of treaties, and racism." Allied air forces dropped thousands of copies of the encyclical on German soil in an attempt to increase anti-Nazi opinions. Between the fall of the year 1939 and the spring of the year 1940, the Pope himself agreed to act as an intermediary between the English and the German military, who were conspiring against Nazism. A group of generals was planning to overthrow and remove Adolf Hitler. The people involved in this secret plan wanted Germany to return to a moderate and conservative democracy. Before acting, however, they needed British assurance that the Western democracies would not attempt to impose a Wilsonian peace on Germany. The Pope would have to provide these guarantees. For the Pope, it was an extremely risky plan. He could be involved in a conspiracy to eliminate a tyrant, which not only meant exposing himself and his collaborators, but also seriously putting in danger Catholic life in Germany, Austria, Poland, and even Italy. It was therefore an absolutely puzzling fact in the history of the papacy. The Pope was aware of this and took a day to reflect and decide. In the end, the Pope agreed, deciding at the same time to keep the boundary to those officially responsible for the policy of the Holy See, that is, to the Secretariat of State. But little by little, the diplomatic plan deflated, becoming a disappointment for Pope Venerable Pius XII. The Pope made it so that the Holy Office condemned sterilization on February 23rd of the year 1940, and on November 27th of the year 1940, he condemned eugenic murder as proposed by the Nazis. In the year 1940, he sent telegrams of solidarity to the highest leaders of Belgium, Holland, and Luxembourg, whose neutrality had been violated by the Germans because they had invaded them. The telegrams caused a great stir, and the Nazi violence against the newspaper of Vatican City State, L'Osservatore Romano, which published the Pope's telegrams, showed the difficulties encountered by any attempt to speak by the Vatican. In the political diplomatic crisis with Adolf Hitler and Benito Mussolini, provoked by the telegrams, the Pope declared to the Italian ambassador to the Holy See that he had no fear of ending up in the concentration camp or in hostile hands. In the month of January of the year 1940, Pope Venerable Pius XII instructed Vatican Radio, which is the official broadcasting service of Vatican City, to reveal the shocking cruelty of the savage tyranny that the Nazis were applying to Polish Jews and Catholics. One well-known newspaper wrote an editorial about these broadcasts, where it said, "Now the Vatican has spoken with undisputed authority and confirmed the worst signs of terror emerging from the darkness of Poland." In England, another well-known newspaper praised the Vatican as the strongest defender of a tortured Poland. That year, more than a third of the German secular clergy and a fifth of the regular clergy, that is, more than 8,000 priests, were subjected to measures of force or threats. 110 died in concentration camps, 59 were executed, murdered, or perished as a result of treatment received. On July 20th of the year 1942, a pastoral letter from the bishops of the Netherlands was read in all the churches, condemning the ruthless and unfair treatment reserved for the Jews. The response was immediate. The deportation of all Hebrew Catholics, some 40,000, were led to death. Mother Pascalina Lennart, the German Franciscan sister, who for 40 years was the Pope's housekeeper, says, "When the news came out of what had happened in the Netherlands, I remember seeing the Holy Father enter the kitchen at lunchtime, carrying in his hands two pages of writing. He said, It contains my protest against the cruel persecution of the Jews, and I was about to send it to be published in L'Osservatore Romano this afternoon. But now I think that if the letter of the bishops of the Netherlands has cost the lives of 40,000 people, my protest, which has an even stronger tone, could cost the lives of perhaps 200,000 Jews. I can't take on such a big responsibility. It is better to remain silent in public and do as much as possible in private. In the year 1942, in the Christmas message, the Pope mentioned the hundreds of thousands of people who, through no fault of their own, and sometimes simply because of their nationality or race, have been put to death or subjected to a progressive extermination. This message was taken seriously by the German authorities, who assigned the ambassador to the Holy See to say that, due to some indications, the impression is given that the Vatican is willing to abandon its attitude of normal neutrality and make decisions against Germany, which, in such a case, it is not without means of retaliation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.